Good evening. So, tonight we're going to have a pop quiz on what day of the week Jesus was crucified. I got you. Not really. I just wanted to see what your faces would look like. All right, I'll explain it. actually, what we're going to discuss is a continuation of a message that I brought forth last month regarding the concepts, biblical concepts that I originally heard from a message from Mike Harbor from years ago, that he unpackaged some things that I had never heard, and it really stuck with me, so I wanted to build on that. But what we talked about last month, as in way of review, is that how the body of Christ, much like the Lord's Supper, was taken, was blessed, it was broken, and then it was shared. And as a reminder of Christ and his life, and we talked about, you know, he could have done many things for a weekly reminder of what we need to be thinking on, where we need to be focused, and on who the church is, who our leader is, and all those things. But he specifically chose the Lord's Supper for a specific reason. We uncovered some of that. And as his followers, as the church of Christ, we too are to be taken, blessed, broken, and shared. And so we talked about some of those things. We unpackaged each one of those. And then we talked a little bit about something called generous justice. The generous justice that God has toward his people. So in other words, the love and compassion that he shows his people, we who were condemned in sin, is the generous justice, is a difficult thing to say, is the record of the gospel accounts. And we also read from Micah chapter 6, verse 8, which reads, "He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God." And that sounds great when we're all sitting here. Sounds like a good plan. But when we go out into that dark world, I think the tendency can kind of be like, well, yeah, when pigs fly. Like, how do I do that? How do I live a life of Micah 6:8? How do I flesh that out, if you will, that principle in my life? How am I taken, blessed, broken, and shared? And so I wanted to cover some of those things tonight. And we also talked about the dance of life, that when we are doing these things, the dance is a great dance. And our leader, Jesus Christ, leads the way in that dance. And so just in way of recapping those things, and but again, the tendency can be to think, well, try as I might. You know, I read Micah chapter 6, verse 8, and man, try as I might. I just, by my own power, by works, I gotta tell you, it's when pigs fly. And I guess Jesus not only gave us a way of remembering him with the Lord's Supper, he also gave us a way to live our lives. And that's what we'll look at tonight as well. It all starts out with this generous justice idea, in that he's given us generous justice, and so we become stewards of it. It's a gift that he's given and entrusted to us. So as stewards, it's our responsibility. In other words, what was brought out this morning, it was well brought out even though we were dead in our sins and we turned our backs from God, we turned our backs on God, even though we were hostile enemies toward God in our transgressions, He provided us with a way out. He provided us with a way of escape. Because He loves souls, He sent His Son as a propitiation for our sins and thereby released us from the chains of sin and death. Now remember, the result of sin is death. Always. Always. And as God being a just God, He does require that, of course. But out of love, He provides a way of escape. And that's this, to sum up the idea of generous justice. Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, it is a blessing. Father, we say that often, but it is a blessing to come here and to be with one another at your table and to be further equipped. And I pray that that this would be on the forefronts of our minds as we go leaving here filled in the Spirit this evening, and that we've been fully nourished to do your work, and as your stewards with everything that you've entrusted with us and in us, that we would take this very seriously, and that we would see it for what it is. It's like Brother Rich said, if not me, who? And if not now, when? So today is the day. Today is what we've been given. So I pray that we each would remember what truly is the work that we're to be doing, and that we would, in our faithful stewardship of that, take that to others in the world. It's in Christ Jesus' name through which I pray and give thanks always. Amen. So God, if God does have this generous justice toward us, and He does, then we need to be stewards of that generous justice to others. When we fully grasp and understand this generous justice that God has for us by faith, then the natural response really should be taking that generous justice to others as faithful stewards of it. That's what steward is. Steward comes from the word ward, which means keeper. A ward of the state is an example. Generous justice is really about how generous our justice is to the spiritually dead, or the dregs of the world, if you will. Similar to the Samaritans in the Old Testament days, the Jews hated the Samaritans. They did not get along. They hated them because they were heathens, without God. And actually, for the most part, the nation of Israel shunned all other nations. Turn to Jeremiah 29, and we'll take a quick look at this. Do you have any water? No. Jeremiah 29, we'll start off in verse 1. Now these are the words of the letter which Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the rest of the elders of the exile, the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Skip down to verse 4. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives, become the fathers of sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters and multiply there, and do not decrease. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will have welfare. There's a lot of interesting things here that I'd like to work through. And to begin with, Jeremiah calls for God's people to engage the people of Babylon in social justice. Thank you. He tells them to engage with them. Now, they are exiles, okay? They're a defeated people. They're prisoners of war in Babylon, okay? Babylon had defeated Judah. They had overran Israel. They had destroyed the temple. They razed Jerusalem. Just to be sure that there wouldn't be any uprising against Babylon, the Babylonians took large numbers of leading houses and families of Israel and took them captive into Babylon. So now Jeremiah is addressing those captives who are prisoners of Babylon, essentially God's people. So the Babylonians said, okay, you can live here, you can work here, do whatever you want here, but you just can't go home. So now from a natural inclination of people that have been uprooted from their homeland and their traditions would generally congregate together and stick together wherever they're at. And that's why we see areas today in cities like Chicago, like the Italian area, Chinatown, various places like that, because people of a particular nationality or national origin tend to share that culture with one another, and they stick together. And that's what we see even today. As prisoners of the nation of Israel, one would think that they might do what they could to impede the cultural growth of Babylon, to act like prisoners of war, and to really dig their heels in and say, look, we're not giving up our culture. And to that, what was Jeremiah's instruction? When pigs fly. He takes the conventional wisdom and says, when pigs fly, uh-uh. They're not going to keep to themselves, is the instruction. They're not to keep to themselves. They're to actively engage in commerce, in social relations with their Babylonian captors. We see in verses 4 through 7 that they are sent into Babylon, the great ancient city, and commanded to do what they can to build up the city and its people that live there. So the point is here that God continually calls his people to do things that are outside their normal comfort zones. God continually calls his people to do things that we would only volunteer to do when pigs fly. That God calls us to move beyond our safe boundaries and engage people unlike ourselves. The Israelites were told to work with their captors, to build up the city of their captors with which both of them were to live. By the way, just a freebie, the nation of Israel here in Jeremiah 29 is a foreshadow for the New Testament church, just in case you weren't aware of that. In other words, you, Christian. So see, we are called to knock down walls that separate us from others. This reminds me of the Mormon religion. They operate exactly opposite of that. That says a lot. We must not hunker in the bunker together and build a separate world for ourselves, similar to what the Mormons do. See, to be salt, a light, and a city set on a hill, that means to engage in social engagements, that means social justice, that means a presence in the marketplace, interaction with the people. And God calls us to intentionally interact with those who are unlike us. To build a commonwealth with those among whom we are to live with. This is a clear call for generous justice. So the body of Christ is the one called to break down racial, ethnic, and social barriers. To reach over economic lines, to reach over social lines. We can't afford to only live, work, and fellowship in a separate community of people just like ourselves. We're told to intentionally join ourselves with those unlike us. That gets a little uncomfortable at times. And not just when we're forced into the situation, but God commands we are to look for ways to do this. We're to look for opportunities to do this. Jeremiah is instructing the people to interact and engage the people that have captured the people of God. The author of 2 Timothy, Paul, writes to a young friend and a colleague in the church to do this very thing. So this can't be some old, obscure Old Testament teaching. It's not. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, we'll look at verses 8 through 15. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to imprisonment as a criminal. But the word of God is not imprisoned. For this reason I endure all things, for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. It is a trustworthy statement, for if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure with him, if we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things, and solely charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle about words, which is useless and leads to the ruin of the hearer. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. See, Paul writes to Timothy, offering him both advice and acquired wisdom on how to live the Christian life. He gives words of instruction, charging those with the responsibility in the church to execute those duties faithfully. He says, you need to be diligent in the practice of the Christian faith so that we can all be judged as worthy followers of Jesus Christ in what we do in this life. So, in other words, generous justice. The engagement in the marketplace, so to speak. Paul says, look, I endure all things for the sake of the chosen, that they might obtain salvation which is in Christ Jesus. Not that I would obtain it, that they would obtain it. This is not just about me walking the straight and narrow, getting to heaven. Generous justice has to go outside of myself. How often do we get influenced by the world, and when we're told it's not all about us, there can be the tendency to respond back with, oh yeah, when pigs fly, I have my rights. I'm an important member of this church. Just look how much I've done. I helped build this building. I teach Sunday school class every week. I mow the lawn. I clean the bathrooms. Me go to jail? I don't think so. When pigs fly. I'm so tired. I have to work 40 hours each week. I'm so sick of having to endure all this life throws at me. My back hurts. I'm sick and tired. When pigs fly. Maybe that works for you, but it don't work for me. You know what? The only way any of this is going to work for any of us, it's by faith. It's the only way. If we are doing it by works or by the flesh, then it's when pigs fly. Some of this generous justice might go right out the window Monday morning when your car doesn't start. or if you have a flat tire, or if you're 5 minutes late because the knucklehead in front of you drove 5 miles under the speed limit all the way. Didn't happen to me, so if that's what you're thinking. We need to be reminded who we are doing this for. It's got to be beyond ourselves. It's got to go to generous justice. Turn to Luke 17. To make a point here, I'd like to look at the gospel account, and we'll start in verse 11, and we'll read through 19. While he was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing by Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. He fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except for this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well." 9 of these lepers were insiders. They were Jews. So I guess they had their rights. I'm an important member of this church. Well, they were God's people, of course, and of course he blessed them. The one grateful, though, the one that turned back to give glory to God was a Samaritan. An outsider. So understand, don't get me wrong, the good news of Jesus is for everyone, but it's particularly for those outsiders who are looked down on by society. They're the ones that are most likely to receive God's grace with genuine gratitude and great faith. Who you are determines how you hear the good news of Christ. And remember, God is no respecter of persons per se, but who you are, your history, all that you've lived in the past, everything determines how you hear the good news. I'll give you an example. Me. For 5 years, Kevin tried to talk to me about his faith, and about Jesus and the good news. Couldn't care less. And then when my life crumbled, and I was humbled, all of a sudden I was ready to hear, and I heard properly. And that's what determines how we hear this good news. People in Jerusalem in Jeremiah's day heard the gospel, heard it one way. Timothy heard it another way. Luke and the lepers heard it another way. So what's the generous justice speaking to you? When pigs fly? Because I'll tell you what, if I have myself on the throne, it's going to be when pigs fly. Because everything's going to revolve around me and my needs. I'm not going to have time to do Bible studies. I'm not going to have time to be here on Wednesday nights. So like the Israelites in Jeremiah's day, we are given a specific place of service and witness. We're sent to a specific place, not of our own choosing. God has made us stewards of that place. How many of us find ourselves in situations and circumstances that we did not choose to be in? All of us. But God has made us stewards so that what we are... So with that stewardship, what are we going to do? What are we going to choose to do with it? Are we going to exhibit generous justice well beyond ourselves? Or are we going to make the dangerous mistake of reaching out for the glory that really belongs to God? See, the tendency is to say, well, when pigs fly. But being in Christ, being chosen, being blessed, being broken, being served is not a position of worldly glory, is it? In the church, among the world, I think we tend to, or at least I do, I tend to forget that we're sent to a place not of our own choosing. Think about that for a second. We tend to think that we chose the areas of service that suit us best. Those congregations that fit us best. That's not the picture that we get from Jeremiah chapter 29. Israel is sent into their captor city for the good of the city, not for their own good, but for the good of the people. To build up the city, it says. That's what salt and light in a city set on a hill does. So we're sent into areas of service in our lives, not of our choosing, but because God chose. In 2 Timothy, we're called to be workers approved by God, worthy workers. And those encouraging words to Timothy applies there that he gives, that it implies that there are consequences. It implies that good or bad for whatever we do or don't do, there are consequences. What are the decisions that we're making? Hearing about these lepers is good news. Hearing about immediate and sincere gratitude for God's undeserved grace is good news. But those lepers weren't being punished by God because of their parents' sin or even their own sin. And it's good for us to be reminded that God doesn't operate that way. But on the same token, the lepers didn't do anything really deserving to be healed either. See, Jeremiah, Timothy, Luke, they're all reminders that what we have was given by God as a gift with great responsibility. Out of God's great love for us, we each have our own sites to manage. That's what a steward is a manager. For what do any of us have that wasn't given to us? I'm going to say that again. What do any of us have that was not given to us? Amen. How we manage those sites, how we steward those sites, has great implications far beyond the immediate moment. Think about that for a second. When pigs fly, indicates it'll never happen. It's words that mean never. We'll become good stewards of all that God's given us when pigs fly. We'll practice generous justice when pigs fly. I refuse to believe that. I believe that by God's grace, we are both called and empowered to grow in faith, in discipleship, and in generous justice. Again, hunker in the bunker is not an option. By God's grace, we are sent to practice generous justice. I believe in gratitude for what God is doing for us, doing our best, we can become faithful stewards and worthy workers of all that God has given us. I believe Jesus is the Son of the living God and Redeemer of men. Nothing short of seeking Him first will cause all these things to be added unto us. We have to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. So you want to live a stress-free life? You want to tell the devil you'll be given in when pigs fly? Well, turn your eyes upon Jesus. He has the answers. Faith is the victory. And Jesus said, "Fear not, for in the world you have tribulation, but I have overcome the world." It's a verse we're very familiar with. See, you see, we can know and believe God's word, but we have to take that step of faith. That step based on reason and truth, with all conviction and assurance, as we heard this morning. So do you have faith? Are you walking? So if we do that, we will have joy and peace in our lives. Please stand with me. Father God, I'm so grateful that you have shown us the way that we can live by faith, even as physical people in a physical world. We are spirits with a body. And I'm so grateful that you've shown us this way, that we can live by faith. We can trust in you. We can surrender all, as was mentioned this morning. And we can have joy and peace in our lives when we do that. I pray, Father, that each of us would continue forward living by faith and not trying to do this by works. So, Father, we know that if we try to do this on our own power, if we try to do this by our works, be justified by our works, it's as impossible as flying pigs. I pray that we would walk and choose to walk by faith and follow our leader, who is Jesus, who is Christ. And it is in His name that I pray always. Amen.